Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Clayton Van Hus and Larry Spargimino will share the latest details on the red heifers that are in Israel. I hope you and your family are making plans right now to join us for our Mysteries of the Bible Verse event, June 7th and 8th in the Cincinnati area. The lineup of speakers is truly amazing. The topics covered will be out of this world. Don't miss the premier event of 2024. For a complete listing of speakers and topics and a link to special hotel rates, visit the events page of our website, swrc.com. Giants, UFOs, dragons, demons, secret societies, topics your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about, they'll all be covered at Mysteries of the Bible Verse, June 7th and 8th. Registration is now open with a limited number of VIP packages still available. Visit the events page of our website, swrc.com, and register today. You can also register by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Mysteries of the Bible Verse, June 7th and 8th in Cincinnati. Right now in Israel, red heifers are waiting to take their place in history. With the latest details and information about these red heifers and the strife and turmoil they're causing, here are Clayton Van Hus and Larry Spargimino.
Our guest is Clayton Van Hus. He is the director of a firm, an important part of Southwest Radio Ministries. Clayton shows the importance of archaeology in supporting the inerrancy and historical accuracy of the Bible. And in a day of unbelief and growing animosity against Scripture of the Christian life, Clayton's work is extremely valuable to all Christians. Today on our show, we're going to talk about the red heifer. Numbers chapter 19 speaks about the red heifer, a reddish-brown cow, probably young because no yoke had been laid on it. The ashes were used as an agent of purification. Clayton, it's so good to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Spargimino. It is a pleasure to be here with you, to be able to sit and talk about these things. Very excited about the topic.
Well, I am excited about it as well. And you and I were in Israel in September. We worked together, and it was so exciting to just listen to you. You know so much about piles of stones and holes of the ground and
sure.
Sharp rocks and all kinds of things.
Yeah, all that important stuff, right? The dirt and the rocks and the things that are found in them. But, you know, we got to visit, you and I, some amazing sites, and hopefully we can talk about that in the near future. But we got to visit these sites, some of which have to do with what we're going to be talking about today. We got to spend some time around the Temple Mount area. We got to spend some time at Shiloh, the ancient capital of Israel, where some of these things happened in the past.
Well, briefly, tell us, what is the importance of archaeology in the defense of the faith? Because I know you're really an expert at this, and we appreciate Affirm being added to Southwest Radio Church. Just give us in a minute or two, because
sure.
We want to know.
Absolutely. Well, archaeology is very important when it comes to studying Scripture, because today the Bible is under attack by many people claiming that it is not historically accurate. And if the Bible does not record good history, then can we trust it for the other places where it makes claims about our spiritual lives, about the supernatural? And so as we study what's in the ground and we find the things in the land, they match up with what we read in Scripture, and we can see that the Bible holds an accurate historical account. And also, it's important studying. There's another facet. When I first became an archaeologist, you know, I thought I'm going to go out there and take the battle to the minimalist scholars, the scholars who are against the Bible, the scholars who make the claims. But you know, today we have just as much coming from the church of poorly researched, poorly understood things, and these fantastic wild claims are being made. So the evangelical archaeologist today finds himself taking it from both sides, really.
What I really appreciate about your work is the fact that so many Christians today and non-believers, they think, well, Christianity is something that we just imagine, something of feeling. There's no historical relevance or truth, but you prove that to be wrong. If we were there with our cameras, with our Minoltas, Nikons, we could take pictures of this because this stuff happened in time and space. So praise the Lord for that.
Exactly. And what we find on the ground is a snapshot of what happened. Just a little slice of biblical life.
Well, thank you so much. I know we could do a whole program on apologetics,
sure.
But this is about the red heifer. So Clayton, tell us, what is a heifer?
Okay, so a heifer is indeed, like you said, it's a young female cow, one that has never born a calf. The heifer, as we're talking about in the Bible, is a red heifer, parah adamah. It is a reddish color, reddish brown. And it is not to be blemished, and it is never to have borne a yoke, never to have been put to work in the field like that. These are set aside for this purpose, the purpose that they will use them for.
Well, Clayton, why do I keep on hearing about red heifers in the news? It must be really important.
Sure, they are important. So this red heifer that we've talked about that's in the Bible, we're hearing about it in the news because 5 red heifers were brought from the state of Texas to Israel. Now, you got to be careful because you can't take livestock, can't fly livestock into Israel. However, you can take pets, so you can take up to 5 pets. So 5 red heifers, genetically checked, they have the red fur. And they have been looked for other colors of hairs. One of them has been disqualified because I think it had 2 black hairs in its ear. But we've still got 4 red heifers. Now, why is this so important? Why are we hearing about it? So these heifers have been brought to Israel and they were taken. I'm not 100% sure where they are at the moment. I think for security reasons, they kind of keep that down. But they were brought to Shiloh, where I dig, ancient Tel Shiloh, where the Ark of the Covenant sat, where the capital of Israel was for over 300 years. They brought them there, and so there is a wave right now, and we see it amongst Christians, but it's also happening elsewhere in the world. The Jewish people, and I think you have some information on Muslims, that there is messianic fever that is going around the world. And of course, as Christians, we believe the Messiah has come, but we believe he's coming again. We believe he's coming soon. Whereas the Jewish people right now, this is a thing where they are looking for their Messiah, and they believe that these red heifers are a sign that he's coming. This sort of messianic fever has not been amongst the Jewish people for 2,000 years. When Jesus came 2,000 years ago, it was in the middle of a wave of messianic fever.
Well, I would think that Hamas would be very concerned about this. I mean, because sure. They're really energizing the Jews. You know, our Messiah is going to come and set everything straight. So I would think maybe the red heifers are in danger. Is that correct?
They could well be. I would not be surprised. And of course, The site of Shiloh is in Judea and Samaria. It is in what we call the West Bank. And so it is in the middle, very very close to the city of Nablus, which is a Hamas stronghold, if you will. So it is not in a place that is considered the safest in Israel. We know that a lot of the locals don't want to go there. When you and I were there earlier last year, our guide did not want to go to Shiloh with us. As a Jewish, he was a believer in Jesus, but as a Jewish believer, he did not want to go into that territory.
Yeah, that really says something when they are afraid to go there. So, but, you know, as we think of the red heifer, of course, there is Numbers chapter 19. What is a red heifer for? What's the purpose of it in the Bible?
Sure. So the purpose of it is they are to be slaughtered. Some people will say sacrificed. They're not an atonement for sins. Well, not as such, not as a sacrifice. The red heifer is to be slaughtered and to be cremated. It is to be burned. And as it's burned, its whole body is burned. A lot of sacrifices, they're taking parts away and dumping them, but everything is burned with the heifer. The hooves, the hide, the innards, everything. And then some other items are added to this fire. Cedar wood, hyssop, which is an herb. Hyssop is added, and scarlet. Likely this is a piece of scarlet dyed wool, red wool, but some kind of red dye is put into the fire as well. All of these things are combined, and then you have ashes. Now, interestingly, these ashes, they're used for purification. They're used to make people who are unclean clean. However, the clean priests who are doing this ceremony become unclean as they do it, and they keep having to replace them throughout the ceremony. So the clean becomes unclean and the unclean becomes clean. But the point of the ashes are to purify those who have touched a dead body, those who have been around death. And it's a whole process, and there's, you know, if you touch a dead body in the field, or if you touch a bone, or it's you brought into your home, or what, things have to be cleansed.
This is a dead human body.
That's right. That's right. And so these are important parts. They are necessary for temple worship to have these ashes.
One of the things I've learned from listening to you on the radio and in conferences is that we need to look for the details. And one of the things that's coming up in my mind right now, a fire that burns up a cow must be very hot.
Yes.
Could you tell us something about that fire?
Well, I am not an expert on fire for sure, but you definitely have to get that heated. You have to turn a cow to ashes. Takes fire. And we know fire purifies, and we see fire throughout Scripture. We see fire used over and over as sometimes it purifies. You know, you think of the coal, putting the coal on the tongue of the prophet to purify his mouth. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And they put the coal, a fire, on his mouth and to purify. We see you will be tried you know, as silver or as gold that is purified in the fire. We see salvation through fire. We see the three men thrown into the furnace, and then they see the man inside who is like the Son of God. So we see these fiery trials and these fiery purges. Even the seraphim who surround the throne, these guardian beings, spirits, celestial beings who surround the throne of God, they are looked at as fiery. That's part of what's in their name, fiery serpent-like, winged. So fire is extremely important. With Pentecost, the holy fire. In fact, they just celebrated the day of holy fire, the Greek Orthodox in Jerusalem. Fire, the holy fire, it is an important thing.
Now, Clayton, do the red heifers have anything to do with the current war? I mean, they're really fighting over their missiles,
right,
bombs, and everything.
Sure, and this war is going on just because of the hatred and the things, the fighting over the land. But actually, yes, there was one of the spokespersons of Hamas came out, and this has gone out. I've seen it now in a couple of places. I've seen the video. He came out, and one of the reasons he said that they attacked Israel on October 7th, 2023, was because of those infernal cows, because they brought the cows into the land, and they are going to defile the land with the cows. And that was one of the reasons that they did what they did.
Well, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate about archaeology and the kind of things that you do is the fact that we really can see what's going on, what the backstory is. That's one of the things that's so wonderful about Bible prophecy. People look at the news, they don't know what's happening, but if you look at the Bible, you get a lot of information why this is happening, what they're trying to do, and what is the ultimate goal. So, in line with that comment, why are the Jewish people interested in red heifers?
Right. As we mentioned before, there is a messianic fever going on. And one of the rabbinical, now see, we have the Bible. You can read in Numbers 19 what the Bible says about the red heifer. But of course, we know that just like Christians write commentaries, we have different rabbinical commentaries on the scriptures. And there was a very famous, very popular rabbi back during the 12th century who some people thought he might be the Messiah. It's Maimonides, Rambam. He said that, so there have been nine heifers that have been, according to tradition, they have burned nine heifers in the past. The last one, 2,000 years ago, before the temple was destroyed. So he said that the 10th heifer will be sacrificed, will be burned, cremated by the Messiah himself. And so now there are these cows, and they're in Israel. And just like Christians, Jews have many different sects and many different ideas. But there are many who believe that, well, since we now have the heifers, that the Messiah will come and he will sacrifice the heifer, that this will bring him in, and the third temple will be built. And so they are in the middle of this messianic fever, and you can see the connection there with Christians. Why are Christians excited about it? And sorry to steal your thunder on that, but we're excited. When I say we, now look, Jesus is going to come when Jesus comes. You know, nothing we do is going to make that happen or not make that happen. I trust the Lord on these things as a believer. But we do have a fever amongst Christians right now wanting that third temple to be built and wanting all of these things to happen. So we can see where there is that connection, where the Jewish people are excited for the coming of their Messiah, whereas the Christians believe that the second coming of the Messiah is imminent.
Well, I know you mentioned Moses, Maimonides, Rambam.
Yes.
One of the most amazing hospitals in the world is in Haifa. It's
yes.
called Rambam Hospital. I was there in 2017. They have nuclear-proof wards, radiation-proof, chemical-proof, and so the Jewish people put a lot of stock in what Moses Maimonides
said. Yeah, he was a healer. He was considered to be a healer.
Well, we kind of touched on this, but maybe you could develop a little bit more. Why are Christians interested? And I'm a Christian, you're
sure.
a Christian, and we're
sure.
interested in this, and we're doing a program on it.
Okay, so if we're not going to be, trying to set things up for the third temple, if we're not going to try to push the hand of God, why is a Christian interested? Why you and me? Why are we interested in this? Because we can see the signs of the times. We can read the sky. Jesus said, you can read the sky in the morning when it's red, you say it's going to storm, and in the evening when it's red, you say it's nice. He said, but read the signs, and we can do that. When we see the Jewish people ready for their Messiah, when we see things like the red heifers perhaps being sacrificed or cremated soon, when we see these things happening, I think we can see that these are signs that things are moving in the spiritual realm as well. And so it's, depending on your eschatology, and of course, we are very serious about that here, you're going to see things a little differently, but I don't think it can be denied that when we see the red heifer being sacrificed, when the Jewish people are ready to build their third temple, that there are signs that cannot be ignored, that these are signs that our Lord will come soon. He said he would come, and he is.
Well, I think, the signs of the times are very important for us. Now, for some people, if they're preterist or whatever, there's really not much significance of the signs of the times. But I think if you look at the Bible, we can see these things happening. Jesus said, when you see, and it's something that's visible, a tangible, we could record it on our cameras, on film, and so forth. So this, I think this is very, very significant. And one of the things I think more Christians need to be involved in is the study of Bible prophecy. It's so revealing. So what are your thoughts on the red heifer?
So my thoughts, as I've shared, I think it's exciting. I think that we need to be watching to see what's happening in that land that is on every news station right now. Every newspaper you open up, when you get online, everything points to Israel right now. Everybody is looking there, and the world is turning against them. So when I see things like the red heifers, and I see them in the headlines, and I see the Jewish people preparing for temple worship once again, I am encouraged to know that my Savior, the true Messiah, will soon come again and take me home with him.
Well, when you mention temple worship, I'm very much interested in Ezekiel 40 through 48. And I know as a preterist and as an amillennialist, at one time I thought, well, that referred to the church. And I began to ask questions about my belief. Why is there so much specific detail like there is in Ezekiel 40 through 48? I mean, if this is allegorical language, why do you mention the number of steps and on and on and on? You know, as I study scripture, I am more and more led to understand prophecy literally. You know, God didn't give us prophecy to confuse us, all right? He gave us prophecy to enlighten us. In fact, even in the opening of the book of Revelation, there's a promise to those who read here and keep these things that are written in the book of Revelation. Yet so many Christians today, so many pastors avoid the book of Revelation. Well, there it is. It tells you there's a blessing. Don't we want a blessing? What are your thoughts about the literal temple being rebuilt as we see it? The change in the earth, the fresh water coming forth, and so forth. I think all of that's very significant.
Right, right. These are the signs of the times that we read. And when I go to Israel, when I go to the Temple Mount, and I look around, and there's a very popular, and as an archaeologist, I do feel somewhat qualified to speak on this. There is a big theory right now that the temple was never on the Temple Mount, that it was down instead in the city of David. There's I got to tell you honestly, there's not an archaeologist on this earth who believes that. Every bit we have points to the temple being where we believe the temple was. And so I think the reason that we have these sorts of ideas are because we have a hope that we want to see God. And sometimes we lose our faith in him. It's just like Abraham, and I know you've been studying Abraham lately. God promised Abraham a son. Well, Abraham didn't listen. He pushed. He and Sarah both pushed, and they tried to help God. And what they did in trying to help God was make a mess. And in doing these things, they did not let God do what God said he would do. And when I see the idea of a new temple, when I see Christ returning, he is going to do that on his timing. I don't need to try to help him by putting the temple in a different place. I don't need to try to help him by moving things around. God will do as God will do. There's even the idea that there's a little patch of the bedrock showing up there on the Temple Mount that's near the Dome of the Rock, but not under it. That some people say, well, a temple could be built there. And yeah, if there was enough peace, accord, and we know that the evil one, the Antichrist, when he comes, he will bring that sort of peace. I think that you could have a Jewish temple existing in harmony with the Muslim sites up there, the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque and places like that. So I have a great hope in Christ. And my advice to my fellow believers, my encouragement would be, look to Christ, trust him, don't force him.
Amen to that. I would agree. Well, I can think of one other comment I'm sure you're familiar with. What about the Palestinian destruction of Jewish archaeological sites? I mean, that's pretty devastating.
Yes.
Tell us maybe in a minute or two about that.
Yeah, there have been some things there. There is one site in particular that they have tried to destroy, and that is a site on Mount Ebal up near, we talked about Nablus. It overlooks Nablus. The ancient city of Shechem is at its foot. And there is a site that we believe is the altar that Joshua built. There were actually two altars. There's a large altar and a small one. The large Iron Age altar and the small late bronze altar we think is actually Joshua's. And there have been some interesting artifacts that have come out of there. If you've heard about the Mount Ebal curse tablet, it came from there. That's my mentor is the one who was doing that, Dr. Scott Stripling. And so I remember during COVID reading that they had gone up, and there's a wall around the site on this mountain, and that the Palestinians had gone up and started removing rocks from this wall. Now, this wall, by the way, is a footprint-shaped wall. We are beginning to look into the idea that these footprint, there are six of these footprint-shaped enclosures, all kind of in conquest areas. And we think they might refer or have something to do with Joshua 1:3, wherever you put your foot, that land will belong to you. But we also believe these are the meeting places, the Gilgalim, Gilgal. There are multiple sites. And so we believe that these could be the Gilgalim. And here the Palestinians were removing rocks and crushing them into gravel. And then during this war, they went up and burned tires on the altar. They spray painted Palestinian flags on the altar. Did all sorts of things like that. That thankfully the IDF came in and cleaned. They have an archaeological restoration group that came in and did some cleaning.
Well, obviously archaeology is important if they're trying to destroy the existence of Israel, the
right.
temple, all these shrines. So if they're interested in it, we should be. And thank you, Clayton, so much for all the work that you do. With a firm, you're a great guy, and just always exciting to meet with you because it really adds to my knowledge. And, you know, as I study the scriptures, as I preach the scriptures, I say, oh, I know something more about this site because of Clayton Van Hus.
Well, thank you, Dr. Spargimino. The Lord has certainly given us the means to uncover these things.
Learn more about the Red Heifer with two excellent DVDs we're highlighting today, The Mystery of the Red Heifer and the 2024 Red Heifer Update. Both of these DVDs by Michael Samuel Smith will help get you up to date on the latest happenings with the Red Heifers in Israel. Order today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order these DVDs at our website, swrc.com. The Mystery of the Red Heifer and the 2024 Red Heifer Update DVDs. 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we have an update on how our Africa Needs Jesus radio campaign finished up, and we have a special salute to mothers. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by listening at pray.com. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com.